chevra in the modern world, it has become, for some reason, not sure the initial mindset behind it, but to have Bein Hazmanim in the middle of Chayrav Zman. Not the way it ever was. It's not the way it still is in the Yeshivish and Hasidish Welt. But here we have January vacation. And not just in the secular schools, but in the yeshivas as well. The more, and some of the even quote-unquote more yeshivish yeshivas have taken upon to have some break in the middle of January. Maybe there's a toelis in it. Maybe it's needed on some level. Not here to discuss that and to argue that. I'm just, it is what it is. But I'll tell you one tremendous maila that can be gained from this minog of some Bein Hazmanim at this point in the year. And that's a new ischachus. That whenever you have a break and you come back, it's a new beginning. Now halavai, we shouldn't need a break for ischachus. Halavai, Torah study, the ability, the schus to learn Torah, we should wake up every day, thanking Hashem for another day of life, but not just another day of life. Another day with the opportunity to study his Halakha Torah. And the godless in Torah is that every day it's fresh and new. Every day there's more depth to be seen. In a perfect world, we should have this chadshus every day with no need of a break. But the emes is, we're basar v'dam. And hopefully those of us who had some sort of break recently, some of us, Baruch Hashem, had this chus to be in Eretz Yisrael, which definitely was tremendous chizik and tremendous ruchnias, that we should be zoicha to keep with us. But either way, it should be a zman now of his chachos, and show the Rabbono Shalom that we gained from that break and ready to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with new hislavas, with new passion. You know, I always felt the very first mitzvah that was given to Bnei Yisrael, we know in Parshas Bo, is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is his chachos. We're going to have Bez HaShem Baruch, we're Baruch in Chodesh Ad Rishon. We're getting ready, Bez Hashem Baruch. It's going to be very exciting. Mamish Simchas Purim. We're getting there. But Rosh Chodesh, being the first mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us that just like Rosh Chodesh is his chachos, is a new beginning every single month, so too should be in our lives, in our Avodah Hashem, always with that fresh excitement in our Avodah Hashem. Every day it's a new beginning in our learning, in our davening, Bez Hashem is Baruch. Okay, with that hakdama, let's learn some Torah. So you look at the second Rashi in this week's parasha, Parashat Mishpatim. Second Rashi is a pella. Pasuk says, "Ve'ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem." These are the laws you should place in front of them. So Rashi says, "Asher tasim lifneihem," that you should place in front of them. Listen to this, chevra. I mean, I'm sure I know we're learning with Talmidei Chacham now. You all know the Rashi, but we have to analyze the Rashi. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lo la'tala al da'et chalomer." Don't think to say the following. You shouldn't think the following, which seemingly he's telling him, "Don't think that." It meant that Moshe was thinking that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't think like this. Don't think like what? I'm going to teach them that teaching, that halacha, that perek, that piece of Torah two or three times. Until it's so clear in their mouth, the way they're supposed to learn it, they really understand it well. Right, a Rebbe has to chazer a few times with the Talmidim. And I'm going to do it a few times until they know it well. But I'm not going to bother myself, and I'm not going to go in to explain to them the deeper depth in the halacha, in the mitzvah. I'm not going to explain to them the tam, the reason behind the mitzvah. Don't say that. Don't say I'm just going to make clear to them the mitzvah itself, the halacha itself, the teaching itself. And I'll do that a few times till it's crystal clear to them. But I'm not going to explain the tam. They represent it should be placed in front of them. Kishulch, a very interesting analogy. Like a set table that's already prepared with food. Meaning what? That it's not raw food, but it's completely prepared and ready to completely devour and enjoy. So to the mitzvah, the halacha, should be given over in a way, together with the tamim, together with the reasons and the depth, that they can fully enjoy and connect to the mitzvah. Thus state Rashi, based on the Gemara and Ervin. Thank you. A little ice also. So here's the question. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu think such a thing? Because Baruch was telling him, don't think to teach the halacha and the mitzvah without the tam, but you have to give the depth. Give the tam l'davar. Why would Moshe have thought not? Why would Moshe have thought just to teach the halacha b'li tam without reason, without understanding, without depth? So perhaps we could suggest, I want to suggest a few ideas. But I think ideas that will help us mamish in our avodas Hashem and help us in our, specifically in our Melech B'Torah as well. You know, there's a fascinating piece in Sichas Musar. I've shared this before, some of the chevra might remember. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't look it up this year. I think it's one. He has a few pieces titled Eved Hashem. This is one of them, where he discusses a machloikas between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro, where when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take Tzipora, to Chazal, that he wanted to take Tzipora to marry Yisro's daughter, Yisro said, "Sure, but on one condition." Yisro said, sure, on one condition. You can marry my daughter, Tzipora, on one condition. The first child that you have, Chevron of the Chazal, anyone, no? You have to raise towards Avodah Zarah. Imagine, Yisro is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, first child you have, you got to raise towards Avodah Zarah. And it's discussed, and we know Moshe ended up marrying Tzipora. He agreed. Now, Reb Chaim Shlavitz goes through, I don't recall now if that was the Medrash or Reb Chaim Shlavitz, but basically, who explains that he agreed because he knew over time he's going to convince Yisro out of this deal. And obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu never was going to raise any child towards Avodah Zarah. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Navi that sees Bas Maklar Amir. He has conversations with God. He's going to raise his kid up with Zara. Then here's the bigger question. Here's the question that Reb Chaim Shlavitz asks. Yisro already at this time came to believe in the Rabbeinu Shlom. Yisro, yes, we know, was a priest, Kohen Midyan. But Yisro went around, and the Medrash says he went around to all different religions until he found MS in Yiddishkeit. Rabbeinu Shlom, as we know, we don't need to go around to other religions. We know it. So Yisro went and found Eibishter. So if Yisro already found Eibishter, and Yisro was misguided, and Yisro was part of Klal Yisro, why would Yisro want? And he already said that that's all sheker. He'd want his Einikl. He'd want his grandson to be raised towards Avodah Zarah. Shem Yerachim, what's going on here? Why would Yisro want that? So listen to what Chaim Shlomo says. Yisoid should be soid is this idea. You ready? He says, you know what? Yisro of course wanted that his grandchildren, his children's grandchildren should all be b'derech Torah mitzvahs and one with Hashem and Emunah. That's what he came to believe. But remember, he came to believe it. Meaning what? He thought his search and his journey was extremely meaningful and helped his connection to Hashem. That only one who goes through the intellectual journey of finding God is going to really be deeply connected to that Emunah. So of course he wanted in the end that his grandson should come to believe in Hashem, but he wanted him to go through the same journey, the same search that he went through. Because he saw that itself is very meaningful and important.
because it will gain certain insight and understanding, and his emuna will be that much deeper. Not such a bad thought. But Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says, "Das is sheker." Our emuna, our belief in Hashem, has to be muchrach. It can't be based on because I went on this journey and I went through all the philosophies of the world and intellectually came to believe in God. It's MS. Shabamito, that Eibishter created the world. And Eibishter gave us a Torah. And we know this from our father, from his father, from his father, back to our Sinai. Tos is MS. It's Mukhruch. Hashem doesn't want us going on these journeys. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to do it. And that's why all of your parents sent you to yeshiva. And put it and spent truckloads of money that they don't have to send you to yeshiva. Because otherwise they could have sent you to public school. Go on your journey. Find it on your own. If it's that much more special. Right? Aber no. Now that's not to say, by the way, I want to make it clear. It's not to say once your emuna is strong and muchruch, to build upon it with understanding and with philosophy and with intellectual proofs and Latin and chveis that you want to read, permission to believe, permission to receive, and all the other emuna books and go to H seminars and whatever does it for you. That's beautiful and wonderful and can add on to the emuna if need be. Definitely. But what comes first, the chicken or the egg, basically, you know? We have to live a muchrus de kamuna, and not just based on the understandings. We have to believe when we don't believe. We have to believe when we don't understand that there's an Eibishter that runs the world. And maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought. Remember the same Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu connected Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to give us all the tamim. Moshe Rabbeinu initially didn't want to give us all the reasons. Because Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do, you ask how high. You don't have to understand. You don't need the tamim. Comes Eibishter and says, I agree, basically. Yeah, of course, you just have to do. But you could add all the tamim after the fact and it's beneficial as well. But that has to be secondary. Maybe that's pshat. And the MS is, we see this as well, the Halig of Vilna Goyin says, based on a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, is talking about how the halacha is that a person, in today's day and age, we don't have this in the same way, but when it used to be that they had their light, their aura were for candles, and the candles were from oil. So halacha is lo yikra l'or ner shema yata. Right? You're not allowed to be by yourself and read and learn by the light of a candle on Shabbos. Why? We're afraid that the light won't be so strong and you're going to go and you're going to lean that the oil, that the wick should go closer to the oil to catch a stronger fire to be able to see. Which would be a usr, it's a halachically usr. You're basically creating fire on Shabbos, right? So you're not allowed to read by Arner. By the way, just on a tangent, just to Mamish's big story. I've shared this maybe before, I don't recall, but the halach is if you have somebody with you that's a shomer, if you have somebody with you who's watching you, you're allowed to go and learn or read by Arner. We don't have this so much because we have electrical light now. These halachas don't apply in the same way. We're not afraid shamayata. But you know, in Eretz Yisrael, even when they already had electrical light, in the early beginning of Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, many Yidden, there were psak halacha not to use on Shabbos electricity. Because unfortunately the electricity, even today there's some, but it's much more rare today, but some not. Based on, again, these are very complicated halachic shailas, but based on if there are Yidden that are involved in running the electrical plants, and it could be Ma'aseh Shabbos and also to be using on Shabbos, okay? So when the Rosh Hashiva, my Rabbi Yemayer Nassus Winkel, Zecher Tzadik HaShvachos, just married, Shabbos Kodesh, he wouldn't use any electricity. And he'd only have, they'd have candles. He'd have candles. And after Suda Shabbos, what did he want to do? He wanted to sit and learn Torah. And he would sit and learn Torah. He wouldn't, like me or you, maybe after the Suda, or learn for a few minutes and fall asleep after 10 minutes over the Sefer and make our way up. He would sit and steig hours upon hours till about 2 or 3 in the morning, Lel Shabbos. Aber what? He was learning by Arner, Shemayata. He couldn't do it alone. His rabbits in the Tzadikas. Badul Chaim should have Bez Hashem Gezunt. The Rebbetzin would stay up every Lel Shabbat till 3, 4 in the morning so that the Rosh Shiva could sit and learn. Hashem Tzidkanios. Shalif, Mishalcha, Shalahi, Rabbi Akiva. All the Torah of the Mir is because of Rebbetzin Finkel. The Torah we should be learning on Shabbos, Chevra. You know, some people, Shabbos, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, and mamish. No, it's important also to have Menuchas Nefesh and to have Tanag of Shina on Shabbos and of Sudas Shabbos. What is Shabbos for? Shabbos is the Farish. Your Shalmei is brought in the Mishnah Berura. In Reish Sadi, Sivkotan Zayin brings the Yerushalmi that's brought down in the Beis Yosef. Lo ninnu shabbosos v'yamim tovim liyisrael ela kedei lasuk ben betayra. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos and Yontiv so that we will learn Torah. Mivnei shekol yamos achol heim trudim b'mlachtam. All week long we're busy with our work. Chever, some of the chever is busy with a lot of secular studies. One day, b'shatoyva, when you're going to be married and children, you might have to earn parnasa and be involved much of the days in parnasa. Ve'elam p'nai lasuk b'kvias. We don't have the same time to learn b'kvias. U'b'shabbos em p'nuyim melacha. On Shabbos with free of melacha, v'yecholim lasuk b'karoy. We could learn Torah in the proper way. Shabbos kodesh. You know, the Gemara discusses and comes out, it seems to be, if you learn through the Gemara, it's unclear exactly, but Yontiv, you have Chati L'Hashem and Chati L'Chem. The Gemara's Shabbos, it seems, is more L'Hashem. In fact, if you open up a Bach in Reish Mem Beis, the Bach paskins in the end, even though on Shabbos you need L'Chem, and you have Suda Shabbos, and Shina and Shabbos, you're supposed to have more L'Hashem. You should be sitting and learning hours upon hours on Shabbos. You have Lel Shabbos after Suda. During the Suda day Shabbos, open up a Rambam. The Rambam, in Shabbos, Perek Lamed Halacha Yud. Perek Lamed Halacha Yud. If you go and read there what Shabbos is supposed to be, he talks about it. You wake up in the morning, I didn't bring the Rambam, but you wake up in the morning, you go to shul, you go home and you eat, then you go to sit and learn, till mincha, shal shud, it's called a day. That's what Shabbos should be. How much time are we learning on Shabbos? Steiging on Shabbos. And Shabbos is a beautiful time to learn things that we don't have that... During the week, everyone here is a Kovetim Torah. We have a Chavrusas, we have a Limudim. There's so much else we want to learn. We look at the shelves and there's so much else. Shabbos is a beautiful time to pull whatever mashalib chafetz bat, to learn the inyanim that you want to be, that you have tanik from, to sit and learn Torah on Shabbos Kodesh. Oh, so let's get back to our inyan. That was just a little bit of a tangent from my Rebbe Yemeir and Nosson Tzvi Zeich Hatzadik Kajvracha. So we have a loch of Shemayata. Came along, the Gemara says here in Shabbos, Yud Beis and Beis, Lo Yikra Lo Arner Shemayata. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha says, Ani Ekra V'Loata. I'm cool. I mean, Midaraisa, you're allowed to sit and learn by a candle. It's only Gzeira Shemayata. I know the halacha well enough. I'm good to go. I'm going to sit and learn by a candle. Pamechud, one time, Kara, He was sitting and reading. Ubikesh lahata. He really deeply wanted to move the candle. He only imamish was like had time for it. Amar kama gedolim devichamim shehemim lo yikra l'arner. He said, "How great are the chamim's words lo yikra l'arner?" They were right. They should never have been doing this. Shmuel ben Elisha. What pshat? What pshat? Now listen, chevra. What pshat? You should know, by the way, in the Mishnah, it just says lo yikra l'arner. It's not until the Gemara comes and discusses the reason shamiyata. Once we understand the reason, once we understand the time, one has the ability to rationalize, one has the ability to intellectualize, one has the ability to think, I understand the time, I can play around with the halacha. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Tzadik Yisrael Olam, but he says to himself, once I understand Shemiyata, I understand that I know I'm not going to Shemiyata, I could Yikra Larner. If he never knew the reason, he would never have played around with it, Bechlau. And then he says, Kama, no, they were right. Perhaps we could suggest, Chevra, this was the mindset of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want initially to give over the tamim of the mitzvos? You know why he didn't want it initially? Because he thought we would utilize that in a negative way. Because he wanted to be Nasev and Nishma, that's to just do. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do, and that's clearly what's best for you. Because the more we understand, the more we're left to our Chachma, thinking we understand, and living according to the way that we want to live our lives. If we don't have the Tamim, I have no ability to play around with that at all. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Because Baruch Hu says, no, give them the time. Why? Because the more depth we understand, the more we connect passionately also to the mitzvah, the more we can find meaning in the mitzvah, the more it could talk to us, and I could put my ava into the mitzvah. It's not just some blind halacha that makes no sense, which is harder to do passionately, b'hislavas. But the truth is, understand that the thought process of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to give the time, has reason to it. And that's each and every one of us. We have to make sure we don't rationalize when we have Avodas Hashem. And start to think, no, it's okay, because the only reason is because of this. Realize any time we know, by the way, is not the full time anyways. Reb Samson Vol Hirsch says so beautifully, we say Tamei HaMitzvos. We usually translate Tamei HaMitzvos as what? The reasons behind the mitzvos. What does Reb Hirsch explain time is? What? Ti'ima, the taste of the mitzvah. What is a taste? Taste is just a small piece, right? You go, Chesesh, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Toimeh Chayim Zachu. So what is the, people, you know, people are very machmer, Toimeh Chayim Zachu. In Erev Shabbos Kodesh, you go and you're making yourself this massive plate and you have two pieces of kegel and like a whole bowl of cholent and a few schnitzels and like, I have to try every, no, Toimeh Chayim Zachu doesn't mean that.
It's not.
Right? Oh, beautiful. Tom is excellent, beautiful, right? It doesn't mean that people have. It's not. I don't know. People have these big kiddushes, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Learning halacha, you're not supposed to eat so much. You're supposed to go into Shabbos Kodesh with an appetite and excitement for Lel Shabbos Suda. Tam means, as Zechariah tells us, Rebbe tells us, Tam is also Oisius Ma'at. Just have a little bit. Tam is just a taste. You're supposed to taste the Shabbos food, both to see if it needs spices, to get excited for it. A little taste. It's only a little taste. Time of a mitzvah is a little taste of the mitzvah. There's so much more we don't understand. So how can we start to think and rationalize? How can we have a cheshbon? We don't know anything. It's not up to us. So we have to understand this. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even want to give the taste. Hashem says, no, we need the taste. We need the taste so that we can connect. But remember, it's still only a taste. Remember, it's only a taste. That's one way to understand this discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbeinu Sholem of giving Tamei Mitzvos. But there's another way that I saw from Avraham Shor in Alekach Valib of one of the Svarim, I don't remember which year it was. He says something incredible. He says Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted. He wanted us to work for the Tam.
He wanted us to be amal b'tayra. He wanted us to toil in Torah. He didn't want to give it all away. Spoon fed to us. He wanted amelus. Kadosh Baruch Hu understood that we needed it a little bit more, and we'd still put it in the amelus. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted amelus b'tayra. That's true limud haTorah. If it's all given to us already, what are we working towards? What are we working for? He wanted certain things that were left unanswered, so that I'll be amal for the Torah. We have to be amal for the Torah. We have to toil in the Torah. But we could explain it even in a deeper sense than that. We explain this discussion even deeper than that. Listen closely to what I saw. Rav Shor explains this as well. Based it a little bit from Rav Tzadok and a little bit from the Halakhic Sfas Emes. He says from Rav Tzadok, Rav Tzadok says in Tzidkas HaTzadik in Ois Yud, he says, Kol binyan limudo yeah mikra tshetiva Hashem. Everything that we learn, don't forget this, is all based on psukim from Hashem. It's all based on Dvar Hashem. Any time we learn, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Tosefta, whether it's Medrash, whether it's Musar, whether it's Machshava, whether it's Chassidus, it's all Amikor Tzivoy Hashem. It's all Dvar Hashem. It's all based upon the Torah that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave us. He says, "V'alzeh remez b'roish haMishnayos the Pasach me'em asai." The first mission in all of Shas and Bracha starts me'em asai Karnas Shema. And everybody asks right away, the first Gemara, me'em asai Karnas Shema, what were we talking about? Like, we start with a question? First say, the Zechiyah of Tav Shema, me'em asai Karnas Shema. So the Gemara says, everyone knows this Gemara, first Gemara in all of Shas. V'tano akroikoi. V'tano akroikoi. V'tano was what? Dealing with the psukim of Shema. Kinem Afarish Bigamara. The Tan, the first words, wants to be of all Shas. Tana Akrokoi. All that we learn is based on Psukim, based on Dvar Hashem. La'oire, to teach us the Chol Mishnaso Rak Akrokoi. All of our learning is on our Psukim. V'lo Kalimad Chachma Mechachmas. We're not just studying intellectually wisdoms. You know what that means, Chevra, what we're trying to say here? People get so taken away in their learning and are into their learning, Baruch Hashem, in a beautiful way, but then forget that they're learning about the Nisan HaTorah and think they're learning Torah without a Nisan HaTorah. Every word of Torah that we learn, every moment, whatever sugya you're learning in Shir, in Seder, whatever sugya might be, and on the surface it might seem like the most mundane of topics, it's Dvar Hashem. There's a Nisan HaTorah. And we can't forget that. Moshe Rabbeinu, on some level, was afraid that if he gave all the tamim and all the depth, we will get so pulled into discussing that, we'll forget the krah itself. We'll forget the pasuk itself. We'll forget the mitzvah itself. We'll forget the Rabbein Shalom himself. That's what he was afraid of. And this is what the Sfas Emes says explicitly. Sfas Emes says, the Heilige Rebbe, Shekach Allah das Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalom, Shalol higid l'vnei Yisrael atamim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to give us the reasons. Ki yareisha adezeh yimul chusrei amuna. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, he thought it would cause a lacking of amuna. As we're explaining, it would cause us just to discuss the chachman behind it without remembering the Rabbeinu Shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu tichu ki michana b'nei Yisrael kabel atamim. V'sheyedu shakol mer Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, like, no, don't think like that. We're ready to accept the tamim and still remember it to all Dvar Hashem. And how do we know? Because we said nasa v'nishma, which the order is correct. Nasa will do it right away without understanding, then v'nishma. But nasa comes first. That nasa is, it's Dvar Hashem. I'm doing it no matter what. First comes Nasa and then Nishma. First comes knowing it's Dvar Hashem and I'm going to do it and then I'll understand it. That's the proper mindset.
And that's Moshe Rabbeinu over a Yisro as well. It's one and the same, actually, if we think about it. But it's so important that each and every one of us, every time we learn Torah, we don't get taken away into the limudim, into intellectual, philosophical discussions without remembering that the godless of our limud haTorah is its Dvar Hashem. And there's a nice in a Torah. And I'm trying to get connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom through its limud haTorah. You know, we say it over here all the time, and I want to read you the words. The Baal HaTanya in Perek Dalet, he says it so beautiful. The Baal HaTanya says, Kutsche Baruchu b'chvayd v'atmo, leis machshava tvisa b'klal. Kutsche Baruchu, really, we should have no ability to have any tzvisave, any connection to him, any understanding of the Ronzlom. He's ain't soif. But ki'im kasher tzvisa mislaveshas b'toyer mitzvaseh. The only thing we could ever have any understanding of connection to Hashem is through the way that he clothes himself in Torah mitzvos. Azai tzvisa behem. Mislaveshas b'kadosh baruch hu ma'amish. So the only way I can have any understanding of Hashem is through his Halakha Torah. That's how he's mislavish himself and allows us to see him and understand him and connect him and have a relationship with him. And that's why, as he says those beautiful words here that we quote all the time at this table, that every time I learn Torah, every time I learn Torah, I'm like giving Hashem a hug. Every piece of Gemara, every Braisa, every Tosfos, every Marsha, every Ritva Rashba and Reb Chaim, I'm giving a Kodesh Baruch a hug. And I can't forget that. I can't forget that one moment. Because Bein Mechabko Kishulavosh, Lavosh Echa, Bein Shulavosh Kam Lavushim, Me'acha Shaguf HaMelech B'toichem. Maybe this is Lavosh, meaning the Torah and the mitzvahs are Lavosh, but Hashem is in there. And if you give someone a hug, whether he's wearing a shirt and a sweatshirt and a coat and a chvestish, whatever else, on days like today, because it's freezing outside, I'm sure you want to get back to LA, you're still giving him a hug and connecting to him, to the Eibishter. Every time we learn Torah, we're connecting to Hashem. Every single time. That's why Nefesh HaChaim tells us all Shar Dalet that we have to learn some Musar before we learn Torah. And to remind us that this is all the nice in our Torah and all the way to connect to Hashem. It's Kedai. It's Kedai, just very simply, that before every Seder, before you open up your Gemara, just very simply say, I'm about to learn Torah as Hashem. I'm about to give the Rabbanu Shalom a hug. Say it. Say it to your Chavrusa. Don't feel that the chvestish is like, I don't know, you're some neo-chast and can't talk like that. Pumfager, we have to talk like that. Or we get lost. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. That we get lost in the intellectual and philosophical, which is godless of the Torah, without the spiritual, without the Eibishter in the Torah. And I've definitely shared this story before at this table, but I was just thinking about it last week again. As I was sitting at the Kaisel one day last week. What a tzchus. Gotta get back soon. And a few years ago, the story already happened a few years ago. I was sitting one day by Kaisel Maravi. It was a Thursday or a Monday. Say Thursday or Monday because it was one of the bar mitzvah days. It was around 2, 3 in the afternoon and there were still tons of bar mitzvahs going on. Shachris. We don't ask questions. You didn't want to connect to Hashem. I'm not saying I would, but I'm just saying I don't ask questions. And I was sitting there learning. And these two yidden come over to me. They must have been in their young 40s with the paper kotel yarmulkes, you know. Two Israelis, they start speaking to me in Hebrew. I'm going to give it over to you in English. And they say to me, Mazak here, I said, what's this wall over here? They're standing Kaisel Maravi, two Yidden Israelis probably never left Israel in their life. And they point and say, what is this wall? Mazeh akir hazeh. I'll never forget till the day I die. It's the Mashiach will come, so... So I'll never forget. So first I was shocked. And I say, what do you mean? This is the wall. And I tell them and explain, this is the wall that was outside, that is outside Harabayas, where the Beis HaMikdash was, and surrounded the Beis HaMikdash. We still have this wall left. And it's a reminder to yearn for Beis HaMikdash. Give them a little bit, just a few moments. Right when I say that, the guy who asked me what the wall is turns to the other guy and says, in Hebrew, see, I told you this is not the wall of the old city. Oh. That's what he says to him. See, I told you it's not the wall of the old city. Okay. So then I'm still sitting there. I'm sitting and there's these two guys standing there. I say, you know, I'm thinking to myself, if they came over and asked me this, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is bringing these two yidden to me. I have to like use this opportunity to give them some sort of chizik. I gotta give them a little bit more and not just tell them what this wall is, you know? So it happened to be Dafyomi at the time was learning Yevamos. At the time I was learning Dafyomi. And right before the day, a few days before that, the Daf was up to a discussion proving and showing that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was Lenetzach, was forever. And it's still there. That Kedusha, as we know it, let's say, we don't even have, even if you weren't holding this Gemara, every one of us that have davened by the Kodesh Maravi for 2 minutes feels it. And knows it. Now there's a different feeling, a different Hargashas Halev. Oh, I'm going to miss Kodesh Maravi tomorrow night. What is it? How do we daven in the Kabbal Shabbos anywhere else? I don't know what we're doing here. Ah, the minion. That minion. Rav Nachum's minion. Anyways, Lameisa. So the Gemara proves it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "As Shabsoi say Tishmoru Mikdashai Tiro," and in the same pasuk compares and has a juxtaposition of what Shabbos and Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says, just like Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos is Lenetzach. Just like the Kedusha Shabbos is forever, so too Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash is forever. So instead, I'm going to tell over this Gemara to them, help them understand. First of all, give them a little chizik in Shabbos. And also understand the Kedusha of this Makom. Man, you never know. You know what it could do for a person. So I start telling it over. And I say, as Shabsoi say Tishmoru. Just say those words. The same Yid, the same 40-year-old Israeli Yid who pointed to the Kaisel and asked me what it was, didn't know what the Kaisel was standing there, finishes the Pasuk Balpeh. He finishes the Pasuk Balpeh. I'm sitting there, I mean, blown away. The same Yid who doesn't know what the Kaisel is, every 2-year-old knows what the Kaisel is finishing this Pasuk Balpeh. But what's Pshat? Pshat is in the secular world in Israel. It used to be, unfortunately, they did away with this, I believe, in that day. But Tanakh was learned as a subject. And this guy was probably a bright guy and a good student. And he went through Tanakh. And he remembered the Pasuk. He knew the Pasuk. So imagine, he knew Chumash Baal Peh, but didn't know what the Kaisel was. What's Pshat in that? You know Pshat in that? He learned Torah as a secular intellectual subject. He learned Torah the way we learn American history. He learned Torah the way we learn math. It was a subject. It was an intellectual study, history lesson of the past, with no guide there at all. So there's no connection. And I have no connection to Makom HaMikdash and Kaisel Maravi, and no connection to the nice in that Torah, even though I knew what the Torah was. Each and every one of us, we have the schus to learn Torah. And through that learning Torah, it has to be Shavis Yisham like the Samad. Moshe Rabbeinu feared and was so afraid that we would learn in such a way that he tried to hold back a lot of Chochma Torah so it doesn't become about the Chochma and it stays about the Torah. Akrokoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no. He trusted in us. The Klal Yisrael understands there's an ois in a Torah. And want, and the more Torah we're able to discuss, the more we'll connect to the Rabban Hashem. Says, give it to them, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't hold it back. But let's not lose sight of the nice in a Torah of the Eibishter every time we open up our Limudim, our Gemara, our Mishnayos, our Chumash. So Mirtz Hashem will be Zoicha. We'll be Zoicha to have that Amuna that's Mukhrach. And not be caught up to rationalize because we know and we think we know better based on the Tamim that we're taught. To know that the Tamim are just a taste. But there's the infinite knowledge of the Rosh Hashanah in every mitzvah and who knows better than us what's best for us. And every time we learn Torah, to learn Torah in a way that we're getting close to Hashem, to realize I'm about to give the Rabbi Shalom a big hug. As my Rebbe Rav Lachman used to say, every time you learn Torah, you go on a date with God. You're going on a date with God. You know, when you go on a date, you do a little hachana, you do a little preparation. Whether it's getting dressed in a nice way, whether it's putting yourself in the right mindset, thinking about what you're going to do. Do a little hachana. Let's do a little hachana before we go on our date with God. To realize that we're going to be on that date with God. Whether that means just saying, I'm about to date God. I'm about to hug the Rabbi Shalom. I'm about to learn Torah Hashem. It will be that much more meaningful, that more special. Maybe in that tzchus will be zoicha. To learn Torah in a way that we connect to Hashem, because Baruch Hashchina will be brought back in this world, and that Koisel Ma'aravi, where that story occurred, won't just be a Koisel Ma'aravi, will be the Migdash that Tiro with Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.